Good morning.
Good morning.
You're welcome. And Happy New Year.
Thank you.
2021 is come and gone. And if any of you recall, which I know you don't, the sermon that I preached in 2021, it seems like yesterday, and we're already in 2022. And in 2021, I taught on the significance of the number 21, which, and what it represents in the Bible. And in Jesus, in Luke chapter 21, verses 23, 25, when referring to the time just prior to his return, speaks about the distress on the earth. Verse 25, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now, I would say that 2021 was definitely a year of distress. And so the number in the Bible actually speaks of distress. Now, I'm not going to go in and drag that all up again as to how we came to that conclusion through the scriptures. But trust me, it means distress. And we could see that 2021 was definitely, in many ways, a year of distress, not only for a few, but it seems worldwide. There is a lot of things going on this year that, or this past year, I shouldn't say this year, this past year, that was causing a lot of distress. Now, the word distress is the Greek word sunake. I think that's how you pronounce it, sunake. And it actually means anxiety or restraint. And it's taken from the same word as sunoko. If you look the two up, the one and the same, which actually means to compress or to arrest, to constrain, to hold or to keep in, to press down. And I would say all of those words really do describe 2021. Constrained, I mean, the virus had us locked down, masking up. A lot of the freedoms that we used to enjoy all of a sudden were you know, kind of stripped from us. In fact, it got so bad, some of us, especially some of us who work in the public, really experienced some crazy stuff. And even us who live out in the country and seemingly everything is normal and nothing really changes out in the country, every once in a while we bump into what's going on in the public areas, and it's like, whoa, we're even more shocked than those who live right in these areas because they're used to it. They live with this every day. They get up, they go to work, they face these kinds of things. And so I have to say I was a little bit in shock the other night when I was I had to go somewhere, and I couldn't believe the reception I got and how everything went. It was terrible, and it really showed me that we really are living in distressful times. And so that's what 2021 stood for, was distress. And like I said, we've all felt to some degree or another the constraint, the holding back that this pandemic has released into the world. And as we enter into 2022, now there's a new variant that's out and it's spreading, and everybody's fearful again. And you know, it looks a little bit bleak going into 2022. You know, nobody's kicking up their heels and yahoo, and it's we're going into what looks like to be another year of possibly lockdowns, constraints. I mean, who knows what's going to come about in 2022 in the natural. You know, nothing seems to be coming to an end. All of this, you know, we were waiting, holding our breath, waiting for this all to stop and get back to some sort of normal, but it doesn't seem to be doing that. And maybe in 2022 we've got hope that it will finally kind of go back to some sort of normalcy. But even though we're entering into 2022 with kind of a, you know, looks still a little bit dark, looks a little bit bleak, this is only in the natural. And it's a summarization of where we are. But you and I know, as we taught on, we've been teaching on for the last few weeks, we are not of the natural. We are of the spirit. We're not of this world any longer. We are of the spirit. So those things and entering into 2022 ought not to bring us down or affect us the way it affects the world. We are not in this world, or we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And as I said many times before, what is happening in the natural, in the flesh, however you want to say it, is exactly opposite to what is happening for 2022. So what does God have for us in 2022 as his children? The world isn't offering a whole lot. Like I say, it's like they're entering into even further darkness and more restraint and more of what we had in 2021. But what about the church? What does 22 represent in Bible numerics? And you can know that if you look around in the world at the natural, God is always doing exactly the opposite. I've learned that. And it gives us hope, because usually what's happening in the natural is not good. And it gives us a real hope for a future. Amen? And so in the natural, it looks like more darkness, more loss of our freedoms. I mean, more and more every day, things are shutting down, and you're needing, there's a lot of places you can't go if you're not vaxxed, and I mean, it's we're losing our freedoms, okay? But what's going on in the spirit? Number 22 is actually made up of two words, kef beth, and it actually signifies fruitfulness. That's what it means, fruitfulness, the open palm. So God's plan for his man has always been to be fruitful and to multiply. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, we're going to start there this morning. Genesis 1 28. It was God's first mandate to his man to be fruitful and to multiply. So 22 represents actually the sons of light, the sons of God. But it's not just light that it represents. 22 does represent light, but it represents more than just light. So God says to them in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, not only to be fruitful and to multiply, but to replenish the earth, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So as the earth is growing steadily darker and losing all its freedoms, like I said, you just do the opposite and you know what's happening in the spirit. We, as God's children, are becoming lighter. We're becoming brighter, filled with more light, more revelation of Christ, and attaining more and more freedom as we operate in the authority God has given us in Christ. So the earth is growing steadily more dark. We are growing brighter and losing freedom. We are gaining authority. So number two does indeed include the idea of light. And we are God's children of light. The Bible tells us we're not in darkness. We are children of the light, the sons of God, daughters of God, sorry, Santana. But it also includes authority as children of light. Authority comes hand in hand with being a child of God. So, I mean, just think about it. As children of God, how can you and I possibly carry out the mandates that Christ has given us if we have no authority? It would be impossible. People who argue that we do not have authority in this life just don't understand. I mean, if Jesus expects us to do what he did, we need to have authority, right? I mean, Jesus had all authority, and he exercised that authority when he came to the earth. And how in the world could we cast out devils like he tells us to if we have no authority over the devils? How could we heal the sick if we have no authority over the sickness? How can we raise the dead if we have no authority over death? And so you need to understand that we have this authority as children of the light. And where God first created mankind, which is Adam, he created him in his likeness and in his image. And he gave him this authority and dominion over all the work of his hands. That was the firstborn blessing. God never created Adam for the world, but he created the world for Adam. And there's a big difference. But we know that when Adam ate from the wrong tree, he basically gave that authority up. He cut himself off. He fell from his portion of authority, so to speak, and came under the curse as well, not only as him, but the whole earth. And we know that that curse has been passed down from generation to generation to generation, which is the curse of death, which is everything is passing away. Adam had separated and cut himself off from God, off from God's life. Now, we think of God having taken life from him or cursed him in any way. No, God didn't have to do any of that. The absence of life is death. The absence of light is darkness. You know, God turns away and we're in darkness. We are in death. And so Adam himself cut himself off from the life of God and was now under the bondage of death. And in that bondage, under death, he had lost all his power, all his dominion, all his authority. How or to whom? To the one he bowed to, which was Satan, right? So we know that Satan is still the god of this world, this fallen world. But Jesus was sent by God. Jesus was God's son to set us free once and for all from every curse, from every he was sent to bring us back to that place of authority and dominion once again, and set us free from every curse that sin brought into this world. That was his purpose. He came to save us, to put us back into a place of a position, authority, and then take back what the enemy had all those years stolen. Matthew 27:46, on the cross, Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The word forsaken means to, why have you left me? Why have you deserted me? Jesus, when he came and he hung on that cross, he became separated from God and his Father at the cross so that we could be reunited with him. He suffered everything, every curse. He became sin, and the Father poured out all of his judgment, all of the wrath onto Jesus, all of that wrath for every sin that was ever committed or ever will be committed was upon Jesus. And we also know that through the suffering of our Lord, in Galatians 3:13, it tells us that Christ now has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We are redeemed from the curse. We are set free. Where? At the cross. And I believe that in 2022, it will be a year that God's children will walk free of the curses. I believe that's what is seen, or that's what I see in my spirit for the year 2022. We will walk free of the curses of this fallen world. And you know, even Psalm 22 says it like this. The first verse says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why aren't you so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Why are those words so important to us? Because it was at that moment that Jesus became sin and he was separated. He suffered our separation from God. He suffered in that moment. Why are you so far from the words of my roaring or my moaning? Jesus hung there on our behalf, suffering every curse that our sins deserved. And he stayed there and he hung there until every last one was paid for. Then he finally said, what was his last words? Finished. The curse was finally paid off. It was finally broken. Death had lost its power, and Jesus now, the Bible tells us, rested his head. How many times have you watched shows, even as a child growing up, where there was a curse and it took some hero to break that curse? And crazy stuff, you know. I mean, I don't even remember in my mind, I'm probably going to get them wrong, but wasn't Snow White under a curse, or all these little childhood, but you know, they are so, you can learn from these, because we were under the bondage of a curse, and it took Jesus Christ on that cross to set us free. And when he hung his head finally and said, finished, he meant what he said. It was finished. The curse was now broken, and God's people are now free. And the reason I'm bringing this into light is because 2021 was a year of bondage, okay, for many people, a year of restraint being held in. But 2022 is going to be a year for God's people of freedom. Jesus broke that curse, every curse in our lives, through the cross. And a type and a shadow of this is in the Old Testament, which is found in the book of Genesis, when God poured out there once again all his judgment, which is a picture and a type and a shadow of Christ on the cross. Where did he pour out his judgment in Genesis chapter 6? Onto the ark, or onto the, actually the judgment was poured out onto the earth. And those that were in the ark, who is, the ark was a symbol or a type of Christ, they were safe from the judgment. Now we know that there was 8 souls in that ark, Noah, his wife, 6 children. They represent the new creation. Number 8 stands for the new creation. And so we, as God's children of light, we who are in Christ are safe from judgment. Why? Because Jesus Christ took the judgment for us, just like the ark separated Noah and his family from God's judgment. Well, Jesus, that's like us in Christ. He took the judgment. Noah and his family didn't feel all that those outside of the ark felt. They didn't have to go through the judgment, okay? And the ark took upon itself all of God's judgment. And finally, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 8, verses 4, and the ark rested in the 7th month on the 17th day of the month. Where did it rest? On Mount Ararat. So the ark never rested until it hit Mount Ararat. Now the word Ararat is made up of 2 words, Arar and At. Now Arar means to curse bitterly. Ararat means to reverse the bitter curse. It's the opposite. Reverse the bitter curse. Now it's interesting. When it says here, the ark came to, well, you took it down already. The ark came to rest in 8:4. The ark rested. Just like Jesus rested his head. Same word. The ark, symbolic of Jesus. The ark never rested until it hit Mount Ararat, which means the curse is reversed. Jesus Christ never rested his head until the curse was broken, until it was finished. Then he rested his head. And we are in Christ. And all of that was done for you and I. Jesus Christ called the second Adam. He came to reverse what the first Adam had done. And not only did he reverse the curse, but he also gave us back the authority that Adam lost through his sin. Jesus always did have all power and authority over the enemy. He didn't do it for him. You know, we sometimes get the idea that, oh, he is all powerful. Yes, he is. He always was. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. But when he came to the earth, he emptied himself and humbled himself to become a man. Why? So that he could give it back to you and I. This whole thing wasn't for him to have all power and authority. No, it was for you. And he's not here anymore. So he came, he took back what the enemy took from us back in the garden, gave it back to us, went back to heaven, and now he's given us the authority to take back and to be fruitful and to multiply on the earth once again and take back and destroy the works of the enemy. Why? Or how? Through his authority. In Christ. So Jesus always had all authority over all of the enemy, every curse. I mean, look to the Gospels. If Jesus was around, the deaf, the ears were open, the eyes, the blind eyes were open. People, if they were dead, they came back to life. If they were sick, the sickness fled. If there was a devil, the devil fled. That's authority. He always had it. That was before the cross. It's not like he had to go to the cross to get the authority for himself. He always had authority over the devil, but you didn't. He's given us that back. And I guess I think that the church has known that for years already. I mean, we've heard this teaching. I'm not teaching anything you haven't heard before. But we treat it like a type and a shadow. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, we know the word, we mentally assent to the word, but it's not real to us. We treat it like a type and a shadow. In other words, it's something to come. Just like the old covenant saints knew that the Messiah was going to come. They knew that he was going to die on that cross for their sins. They knew all of this, but to them it was a type and a shadow. It was something to come. We treat this word as if it's a type and a shadow, and that we're not going to enter into any of this until Jesus returns, until this whole thing is over. And that is wrong, because Jesus finished it at the cross. He gave us that authority at the cross. We don't need authority in heaven. There's no demons in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. It's here that we need it. Jesus wants us to use his authority, and it brings him great pleasure when we operate under the power and the authority he's won for us at the cross. He's not looking at you saying, oh, gee, Donald, another thing you're asking for? Another thing you're commanding? No, the more you ask, the bigger you ask, the more delight he takes in it. But are we using our authority? Like, God's not going to just do it. He's given you that authority. That's your mandate, is to take back what the enemy has stolen. It's to call those things that be not as though they are. It's to destroy the curse wherever you see it and call forth the blessing. It's an authority that we've been given as children of the light. And I believe that God is wanting us to be encouraged, not to be afraid, but to step into that authority. He's going to back you. It's not your authority. You have no power against any devil. You'd have no power except what he's given you. And so he's not going to let you down. He always backs you. I mean, we looked at that story last week from Moses when he took the children up to the Red Sea. I mean, they were scared, and the enemy was right on their backs. And of course, then God spoke to Moses and said, well, don't just stand there. Like, what do you got in your hand? Stretch forth your hand. In other words, use the authority I've given you. And so Moses stretched forth his hand, and the Red Sea parted, and all the children of Israel walked through on dry ground. And when they looked back, of course, the enemy was coming after them. And the enemy's always going to come after you. But what happened to the enemy? Before their very eyes, they all drowned in the same Red Sea. God caused the water to close back up, and all the enemy drowned. Do you think he'll do any less for you when you use your rod of authority? Don't worry about your enemy. God will make sure they drown, and he'll make sure you see it. So many times where I think we're so afraid to step out in faith and use our God-given authority. But God's not going to use it for you. He's given it all back to you. And what you do with that authority is totally, I guess it's up to you. But I do believe that fear, the light of the fact that we are children of the light, I believe in 2022, is going to set us free to start walking in our God-given authority in this world and be that light that God has called us to be in this dark world. Don't let 2022 be a year of darkness for you. Let it be a year of more light and more authority, not more constraint and restrictions, but more freedom. Because that authority gives us freedom. We are freedom. We are called to freedom. Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith he has set us free. Free from what? I used to read that and think, what are we free from? And then you'd read in one section, say, we're free from sin. Yes, we're free. How are we free from sin? Well, Jesus took all of the pain and the punishment, and sin has no more power over us. And so we are set free. Do not be entangled again in this yoke of bondage. And so we need to stand up in the freedom which Christ has won for us at the cross. And we need to give him glory by using the authority he has given unto us. So this authority we have been given does not work unless we by faith, put it into effect. The curse is at work all around us. We don't have to look far to see the curse. And it's really just the natural course of the events that take place in this fallen world. Everything's passing away. And unless somebody stops it, it's just going to keep on going that way. But that curse has been reversed in our life, and I believe, and I've taught this before, that we have taken a sudden stop in Christ. Now we're going the other way. We're going more and more and more towards life. So this world is a fallen world, and we even live in a fallen body. Yet, the authority that we have been given in Christ far supersedes this natural world and our natural body. The Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in us has set us free from the law of sin and death. We've looked at that extensively over the last month or two. This is our inheritance in Christ. You know, the law of the life of the Spirit in us supersedes the law of sin and death. And that's what I've been trying to get us to see. That no matter what it looks like in the natural, the law that's at work within you, which is the life of God, far supersedes the law that is at work in the natural. And like I use the example all the time of gravity is a law that's at work on the earth today. That's not going to change. You know, thank goodness, or we'd all be floating up there somewhere. But, you know, the law of lift and thrust supersedes that law, right? Otherwise, we couldn't fly in airplanes. And it's no different with the law of the Spirit of life. It supersedes the law of sin and death. What's in us is greater than what's in the world. And so we need to use that law that we have on the inside, which is the Spirit of life. That's what gives us authority in this world. Amen? So this is our inheritance, part of our inheritance in Christ. Why? Because we have passed from death unto life, his life in Christ. We are no longer servants, but now we are sons of God. Galatians chapter 4, verses 5, 6, and 7. Let's read that this morning before we close. 4, 5, 6, and 7. To redeem them that were under the law. How did God redeem us? Through Jesus on the cross. That we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, we are no more servants, but sons. And if we are sons, then we are heirs of God through Christ. We are heirs of God through Christ. We are his children. And he has taken us back and given us all power and all authority again through Christ and through the cross. And we ought not to be depressed or discouraged going forward, but we ought to be excited. We ought to be excited because we have this authority. There's nothing that won't bow to the name of Jesus in our lives, no matter what it is. But we need to be brave and bold to use this authority. We need to take authority, to use this authority in our own lives. Now, there are a couple of Old Testament examples of light and authority, and I've written them out here. The 22nd time Joseph is mentioned, actually the 22nd time, let's look at Abraham first. Genesis 25:5. This is the 22nd time his name is mentioned, is in Genesis 25:5. And it says, now Abram gave all that he had to Isaac. Isaac was the inheritor of Abraham's goods, his wealth. He was the inheritor, actually, of the promise that God had given to Abraham. In your seed, it said, all nations will be blessed. He was a type of Christ in this regard after he had died and rose again. He ascended, and the Father now has put all things under his feet. Okay? So the authority. So part of that inheritance that Abraham gave to Isaac was authority. And we are in Christ, so we are co-heirs with God. With Christ. That's what we just read in Galatians. We are co-heirs with Christ. If all authority has been given, Jesus said in Matthew, I think it's 27:46, I believe, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore into all the nations. So all authority, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. All authority was his as God, but now as a man, all authority was given. And that's the authority he's given to us. Has been given unto Jesus. And so we are co-heirs with Christ. And if he has all authority, then guess what? So do we. 22nd time Joseph is mentioned in Genesis 34, 37, 4. It also says Joseph found favor in Potiphar's sight and became his personal servant, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. So the number 22 deals with authority as well as light. Okay, so looking forward to 22, see yourself as walking in a greater authority, as putting your authority out there, using it, affecting it in your lives. Joseph also was a type of Christ in his second coming. And he, you remember Joseph, the story of Joseph, he was given authority over all in the land. Potiphar gave him that authority. And that's a picture of Christ having authority, but also his body, or his sons and daughters, which is you and I. And so I'm not going to go any further this morning with this subject, because I want us to ponder it and realize that this is the time that God is calling his children specifically to use the authority for the kingdom of God, for the sake and the glory of Jesus. If we do not use our authority, then, you know, the curse is all around us. If you do not use your authority, then naturally it'll happen to you. I mean, we look at our bodies. Our body has not been glorified. We are still living in a fallen body, which is subject, or it's a natural body. And so it goes on a natural course. So if you're not using your authority in your own body to supersede that curse, then it's not God's fault. God has already given us that power and authority, and we need to exercise it. We need to walk forward in 2022 using this authority, believing and knowing that God will back our words. You know, have the God kind of faith, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. That talks about God using his commands, his words, authority, to call those things that be not as though they are. That's what faith is. Faith is calling forth something that is not, or that is not seen in the natural. And so that takes authority to do that. We've got that authority. We couldn't walk by faith without it. And so I believe in my heart, God is really calling us in this year to step out, not be afraid, use that authority in the name of Jesus. The Bible says at that name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, and every demon in hell shrieks and screams in terror. You know, you need to get this picture. They're scared. They don't want you to step out in your God-given authority. That's the last thing they want, is for you to do that. And so they'll try to hold you back. They'll try to do all kinds of things to you in the natural to get you to back off of your authority. But don't do it. You just push through. You just keep your eyes on the prize. You keep your eyes on the thing that God has given you, and you take a stand. And that's kind of what the Lord spoke to me the other day for me in 2022, is you stand, and having done all, you stay standing. No matter what it is that you're fighting against, don't you back down, because he's already finished. You already have authority in this life. And so I think that for a lot of us, we back down way too quickly. We quit way before we should. And we need to stand. Take a stand, and having done all, stand. Amen? Amen. We're going to close with a communion. Daniel, would you hand out the communion for me?